This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, March 19, 2013. The Daily Sentinel and the Denver Post are reporting that an underground plume of hydrocarbons from a spill 4 miles north of the Colorado River near Parachute have not been contained. As of yesterday, the leak site is only 60 feet from Parachute Creek, but authorities say the creek has not been contaminated and trenching and other means are being used to protect it. Todd Hartman, a spokesman for the State Department of Natural Resources, said Monday afternoon that another 72 barrels of oil, more than 3,000 gallons, had been pulled from a site adjacent to Parachute Creek as of 6 a.m. Monday. Before 6 a.m. Sunday, 57 barrels of the fluid had been recovered. Through Monday morning, the amount of contaminated groundwater also removed had grown by nearly 600 barrels, or more than 25,000 additional gallons. That's on top of more than 35,000 gallons removed as of early Sunday. The leak is occurring in a pipeline right-of-way adjacent to a natural gas plant. This is the first time the substance has been referred to as oil. Hartman and industry representatives previously have described it as being an unidentified natural gas liquid lighter than oil. Industry officials over the weekend had said indications were that the leak seemed to be subsiding, but Hartman said he could not confirm that the leak is slowing. The fluid is seeping from an undetermined source in an area containing a number of pipelines and tanks. The pipelines belong to Williams and WPX Energy. The seep was discovered when crews were digging to locate pipelines as Williams prepares for construction of a new cryogenic gas plant on the property. The area of contamination is said to run about 200 feet along the right-of-way paralleling the creek, 175 feet wide and 14 feet deep. The depth to the shallowest groundwater in the area is about 10.5 feet, this according to a spill release form Williams has filed with the state. The nearest water wells are an estimated 3,000 to 5,000 feet away. The cause and source of the spill have not been identified. It was detected by industry workers on March 8th and reported that day to the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. A few years ago, Colorado wildlife officials announced they would test fish along Parachute Creek in response to concerns about the impact of oil and gas industry in the area. State rules allow oil and gas drilling and production activities along most mountain waterways, a concern environmental groups have long pointed to as a regulatory deficiency. A U.S. Environmental Protection Agency official checked out the site to assess whether creek surface water had been contaminated. No public health announcements have been made. Last month, a federal court said the BLM must disclose the names of those who nominate public lands for oil and gas development. The ruling came as a result of a case filed last June by the Western Environmental Law Center and the Paonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community. The groups sued to learn who nominated parcels in the North Fork Valley. The parcels were withdrawn shortly before the auction after a record number of objections from local residents. The BLM has until April 15th to disclose the names or to file an appeal. Yesterday, at the Delta County Commissioners' regular meeting, the county's oil and gas liaison talked to commissioners about some information he's compiling. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
2 days after a BLM auction of public land leases for gas and oil development, the names of the nominators of the parcels are released to the public. Bruce Bertram, who keeps track of oil and gas development for Delta County, is doing a little research on how those nominations have played out here.
One of the things that I'm looking into is that on all of the BLM sales that have occurred since 2002, what I'm after is who nominated them and who ended up actually buying leases.
There's been, about 6 to 8 different lease sales by the BLM with parcels in Delta County. And I thought it might be interesting to see if the ABC company or individual that nominated them was actually one that bid on them.
Bertram will report to commissioners on April 5th at 10 a.m. in room 234 of the Delta County Courthouse. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
If you've ever wanted to hunt bears, or if you want to improve your chances of harvesting one, plan to attend a workshop sponsored by Colorado Parks and Wildlife on March 30th in Montrose. Tony Bonacquista, District Wildlife Manager in the Nucla area, will lead the presentation on hunting Colorado's black bears. He'll discuss bear biology, hunting tactics, field dressing, rules and regulations, and human-bear conflict issues. During hunting season in the early fall, bears are eating for up to 20 hours per day. They prefer acorns and berries, both high-energy food sources they need to pack on the pounds in preparation for hibernation. The class, which is limited to 25 people, is 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. March 30th at the Montrose County Parks and Wildlife, 2300 South Townsend Avenue. The cost is only $10 and includes lunch. To register, call 970-252-6000. The Associated Press reports that the state's unemployment rate dropped to 7.3% in January from December's 7.6%. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment said Monday that employers in Colorado added 7,100 non-farm payroll jobs from December to January for a total of 2.3 million jobs, according to a survey of businesses. Private sector payroll jobs increased 8,200 and government jobs dropped by 1,100. The national unemployment rate increased 0.1 percentage point over the same period to 7.9%. And state economists delivered some additional good news to lawmakers on Monday. According to the latest economic forecast, Colorado's recovery is among the most vibrant in the country. It means there's more money in the state budget, but economists are also warning of possible challenges ahead. Bente Berkland has more.
Economist Larson Silva told lawmakers that Colorado's economy is strong and the legislature will have an additional $1.8 billion of wiggle room in next year's budget.
Employment is growing. The unemployment rate is on the decline as the number of jobs is growing faster than the number of people entering the labor market. Personal income is growing. Retail sales are improving.
While the state is in similar shape to the last forecast in December, nonpartisan chief economist Natalie Mullis says she feels more confident.
You reach a critical mass, and the economy begins to move forward. This economy is not fully healed from the imbalances that created the recession, but it is healed enough that critical mass has been reached.
But it's still a fragile recovery. Economists note that the recession in Europe and a real estate bubble in China could hurt overall growth. Republican Budget Committee member Representative Sherry Giroux of Evergreen worries about the impact of Washington, D.C.
We're a little bit tentative in where we are. I mean, my concern is what sequestration will do, if it'll throw us into another down cycle.
Economists say sequestration and higher federal taxes are slowing growth, but they don't expect it to stop altogether. The governor's budget director, Henry Sobenet, also warns that some of the state's additional revenue is from one-time sources, such as stock sales.
We have clue after clue that what we're dealing with is a volatile revenue stream, and so we want to be careful not to spend it all in programs where you need to repeat it in the following year.
Sobenet says the governor plans to prioritize capital construction projects and education in his budget proposal, but it's lawmakers who actually write the budget, and with nearly $2 billion additional dollars, there's likely to be lots of different ideas on where that money should go. I'm Bente Berkland at the State Capitol.
Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.